RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Nisma. First, the headline. Indonesia encourages the acceleration of the trade preference system ratification of OIC. Indonesian assistance for Rohingya refugees to enter Bangladesh. And now the news in detail. In an effort to boost trade non-traditional market, the Indonesian Trade Ministry held a workshop to discuss agreement of trade preference between member countries of the Organization Islamic Cooperation OIC. On the sidelines of the workshop, which was held in Jakarta on September 13 to 14, 2017. An expert staff of international relations, Dodi Edwards, stated that the OIC member countries become opportunity of Indonesia to increase its export values and widening of market. He also stated in the meeting theme trade preferential system among the member states of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, that representatives from OIC countries discuss about tariff and standard of trade as well as trade preference exchange.
Kita harus menggali pasar kita yang sangat besar itu khususnya di negara-negara.
We must explore a very large market, especially Africa and also in the Middle East. Our trade balance with OIC member countries is in a surplus position in 2015 of $914 million, or an increase of 76% since 2012. With this workshop, we can get more complete information, more details, because this workshop discusses about preferential tariff system.
Dengan adanya workshop ini, kita bisa mendapatkan informasi yang.
Dodi moreover hoped the workshop produced recommendation of policies which can be applied by Indonesia so that it is able to encourage the acceleration of the ratification process of trade preference system among OIC member countries. Dodi Edward moreover said Indonesia is the biggest Muslim country and the fourth bigger exporting country in the OIC. He hoped in the future the trade value will be more increased. Indonesian 10 leading commodities to the OIC countries are among others vegetable or animal fat, mineral fuel, vehicles, paper product, fiber, electronic goods, wood, textile and textile products and rubber, while the Indonesia's main export destination countries are Malaysia, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan and Turkey. The Indonesian relief groups will continue their journey to Chittagong, Bangladesh, the next day after a one-night stay in Banda Aceh to wait for permission to enter Bangladesh. The plan of two Hercules aircraft will depart due to the limited capacity Chittagong Airport. Two other Hercules aircraft will leave for Chittagong 3 hours later. Then the journey is continued by land to the refugee camp at Cox Bazar. Head of Mission of Civic Mission of Indonesia, Junjungan Tambunan, said that the trip will take 7 to 8 hours and will travel as far as 130 kilometers from Cintagong. Junjungan Tambunan added that at Cox Bazar, the handover of Indonesian government aid will be held by the Indonesian ambassador to Bangladesh, Rina P. Sumarno, to the government of Bangladesh.
Jadi di Cintagong begitu tiba di sana kita pertama.
So when arriving in Cintagong, first we will ship all the loading and unloading by using trucks.
Dengan menggunakan truk. Baru dari sana kita
then we ship it to Cox Bazar. At Cox Bazar we will set cluster tents because the tents had many children.
Jadi kelas itu ada tenda 10 tenda.
Then the trucks, we have a 10 tents,
and
also we have a letter U, the trucks carry logistic needs, and we attend together. We ask to be posted near the ones. Afterward, all had been settled. Indonesia Ambassador on September 14 will go there. The attendance of Indonesia Ambassador is with the Governor of Bangladesh. Afterward, we set all, then it will be handed over by the Ambassador to the Governor of Bangladesh.
Setelah ini kita pasang semua. Kita pasang semua. Ini diserahkan oleh Ibu Dubes ke pemerintah Bangladesh. Selanjutnya kita selesai di situ dalam formal menggeser barang ini ke pemerintah Bangladesh.
The Indonesian government aid to Rohingya refugee released by Presiden Joko Widodo at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in Jakarta on Wednesday is the first wave aid which is sent by the government. Junjungan Tambunan also said that the aid is the most needed by the refugees. The donation consists of 20 tons of rice, 1 ton of sugar, 7,000 blankets, 10 tents, 900 packets of clothing, 600 family kit packages, and 10 units of flexible tanks with a capacity of 500 gallons. Ulamas and head of boarding school from Central and East Java received invitation from President Joko Widodo together at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday. The head of the state invited them to discuss various important issues which are currently faced by the Indonesian nation. To the ulamas and heads of boarding school, the president invited all of them to keep conduciveness of the area, especially entering the political year, namely the coming election in 2018 and 2019.
Oleh sebab itu, kami mohon agar kondusivitas di daerah.
Because of that, we ask for conduciveness in the region and we really keep together intercommunal harmony. Do not let any more effort to bring action into conflict and spread bad news that resulted disunity. Whereas it is 5-yearly political event. Do not let disunity among neighbors and no more brotherhood among community.
Antar umat menjadi tidak kelihatan persaudaranya kembali.
President Joko Widodo hope the ulamas and leaders of boarding schools can keep harmony among the people and also prevent bad things and disturbing brotherhood. The president also told the ulamas that the strengthening of characteristic education also becomes great work of all sides, including the ulamas and heads of boarding school, in forming character of the student to be person who is not easily interfere with foreign culture. It is feared can erode the culture of politeness, integrity, honesty, and culture of respect to teachers. Indonesia continues to improve economic relation with the European Union. For that, Indonesia continues to push forward the progress of the third round of the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or IEU-CEPA, the third round to talk takes place on 11 to 15 September 2017 in Brussels, Belgium. In the third round of talks, Indonesian delegation led by Director General of International Trade Talk of Trade Ministry, Imam Pambagio, Indonesian delegation consists of representatives of various governmental institutions, IEU, CEPA talk includes various sectors such as trade in goods, trade in services, investment, intellectual property rights, business competition, trade and sustainable development, micro, small, medium enterprises, trade in government goods and services, as well as cooperation and capacity building. The third round of IEU CEPA target the finalization of the market access negotiation framework. Iman hopes that the third round of talks can push negotiation significantly. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government committed to keep increasing and giving positive contribution for the world's development and welfare through the South-South Cooperation and Triangular Framework, KSST. Chairman of the National Executive and Coordination of South-South Cooperation, Muhammad Sharif Alatas, in launching an annual report of South-South Cooperation and Triangular Indonesia 2016 and KSSS logo, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that it is commitment and responsibility of Indonesia to keep giving positive contribution for global welfare and world's development. Sharif Alatas also said the commitment is based on the trust that Indonesia has ability and capacity to respond challenge of global development. The Indonesian commitment is one of Nawacita agendas and has been written in the plan of development of the 2015-2019 national middle term as one of the national development priorities. He further said the increasing of Indonesian KSS is believed to have big contribution for the nation and the state benefit in increasing development and economy, and also Indonesian contribution for global welfare. And the last item, Indonesia and Australia have enhanced cooperation in transportation sector and signed a memorandum of understanding on territorial sea borders and sea pollution. A spokesman of the Transportation Ministry, Hengki Angkasawan, explained in a statement in Jakarta on Wednesday that Indonesia will hold a business forum in transportation sector to attract Australian investment to Indonesia in transportation infrastructure. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi and Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grigson have also discussed the increased frequencies of flight from Lombok, Labuan Bajo and Bali to Australia. Hengki further said that this route are expected to promote tourism sector in both countries. He added that Indonesia and Australia have also expanded draft MOU between the Indonesian Sea Transportation Directorate General and Australia's Maritime Safety Authority on territorial sea border and sea pollution countermeasures. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia encourages the acceleration of the Trade Preference System ratification of OIC. Indonesian assistance for Rohingya refugees to enter Bangladesh. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our daily program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Anticipating the Widespread of Drought. Dry season hits Indonesia again. The effects of climate change had made the cycles of season changing globally, including in Indonesia. The current dry season in Indonesia is increasingly widespread, and its effect had made a lot of agricultural land damaged by lack of water and caused land and forest fires. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, noted that 2,726 villages, districts in 105 district cities in Java and Nusa Tenggara are experiencing drought. In addition, Fire spot from forest and land fires can be monitored in Sumatra, Kalimantan, East Nusa Tenggara, and Java. In a meeting with cabinet minister related to the draft taking place at Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo confirmed that the draft that hits Indonesia is not as bad as in 2015. At the time, it was directed by El Nino. The president also ordered minister and institution and governors to go to the field to see the current condition and to take preventive steps immediately. One of the solutions mentioned by President Joko Widodo is related to water supply for drought-affected communities. Over the last 2 years, the government has built a number of reservoirs and dams to anticipate the disaster. Meanwhile, Minister of Public Works and People's Housing Basuki Hadi Purnomo said that due to the current dry season, 57 reservoirs have water supply below normal and 6 reservoirs have dried up. While from 16 primary reservoirs, 10 of them are still normal and the 6 ones are below capacity. For clean water, Minister of Public Works and People Housing in some areas have prepared clean water supply to drought-stricken residents. Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman said that to face the dry season this year, his ministry guarantees food supply unaffected by drought because the area of crops, especially rice, has reached 4.6 hectares, while the irrigation area also rises 7.4 million hectares to ensure water supply for the agricultural land. Meanwhile, Minister of Environment, Forestry Siti Nurbaya said that about 30,000 hectares of forest and land in a number of areas in Indonesia is on fire, and the most widespread spot of fire is in East Nusa Tenggara, NTT, and Riau. She also stated that a number of areas have anticipated the preparation of 26 bombing planes to overcome land and forest fires. Drought and forest fire are a crucial problem during dry season in Indonesia. Thus, anticipatory steps are needed. Planning with the construction of a number of reservoirs has been prepared by the government these days. In addition, the government is also expected to provide direction to farmers related to climate change that occurs today. Coordination and cooperation of the Meteorological and Geophysical Climatology Agency, the Minister of Agriculture and the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, are urgently needed to anticipate climate change, which in turn makes changes to the cropping pattern of farmers and the types of plants to be planted. Positive directives from the stakeholders in anticipation should be faster and effective so that the effects of drought can be reduced. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our daily program Today in History. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for infant on September 14, 1908, when Balai Pustaka was established. Balai Pustaka is the state-owned publisher of Indonesia and publisher of major pieces of Indonesian literature such as Sala Asuhan, Siti Nurbaya, and Layar Terkembang. Its head office is in Jakarta. On 14 September 1908, the Dutch colonial government established the Commission for People's Education and Reading, and later shortened to the Commission for People's Reading. Along with the foundation of Budi Utomo, it served to bring formal education to native Indonesians. Founded in 1917 as the Kantoor Founder Volksleiter, Balai Pustaka was used by the Dutch colonial government as a means to control native Indonesian access to information. The next event was in 1969 when OPED was established. Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPED, is an international organization headquartered in Vienna, Austria. OPED was established in Baghdad, Iraq on 14 September 1960. It was formed when the international market was largely dominated by a group of multinational companies known as the Seven Sisters. The formation of OPEC represented a collective act of sovereignty by oil exporting nations and marked a turning point in state control over natural resources. In 1960s, OPEC ensured that oil companies should not unilaterally cut prices. In December 2014, OPEC and the oil men were named the top 10 most influential people in the shipping industry by Lloyd's. OPEC's mandate is to coordinate and unify the petroleum policies of its members and to ensure the stabilization of oil markets in order to secure an efficient economic and regular supply of petroleum to consumers, a steady income to producers, and a fair return on capital for those investing in the petroleum industry. In 2014, OPEC comprised 12 members: Algeria, Angola, Ecuador, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Libya, Nigeria, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Venezuela. According to the United States Energy Information Administration, EIA, OPEC crude oil production is an important factor affecting global oil prices. OPEC sets production targets for its member nations, and generally, when OPEC production targets are reduced, oil prices increase. Projection of changes in Saudi production result in changes in the price of benchmark crude oils. And the last event was in 2000 when the Jakarta Stock Exchange was bombed. The Jakarta Stock Exchange bombing was a terrorist attack on the Jakarta Stock Exchange on September 14, 2000. A car bomb exploded in the basement of building, triggering a chain of explosion in which a number of cars caught fire. Most of the dead were drivers waiting for their employees' cars. Many had taken cover in their vehicles by suffocated as billowing black smoke engulfed the basement levels. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Mana Rahmana, in program Focus. The title of today's Focus is ASEAN and U.S. Agree to Enhance Economic Cooperation. ASEAN and United States have agreed to continue the comprehensive economic cooperation within the framework of ASEAN-U.S. Connect. This agreement was reached at the AEM United States Trade Representative USTR meeting on Saturday 9, September 2017, in a series of 49th ASEAN Economic Minister Meeting, AEM, in Pasay, the Philippines. At the meeting, the Indonesian delegation was led by Director of ASEAN Trade Negotiation at the Minister of Trade, Donna Coulton, while the United States was represented by ASTR Assistant for Southeast Asia and the Pacific, Barbara Wiesel. Donna Coulton, in a written statement in Jakarta on Monday, said that ASEAN-US Connect Cooperation Framework includes 4 points: the development of innovation, energy, business and policies, and at improving the economic growth of watch countries. Donna Coulton also stated the ASEAN economic ministers welcomed the ASEAN-US Connect cooperation. She added that through the cooperation, both parties will have the opportunity to open access to information and government-private resources. In addition, ASEAN economic minister also noted the progress of the implementation of the ASEAN-US Connect framework in the digital economic sector. The ASEAN Economic Minister also appreciated U.S. assistance through the ASEAN Connectivity, Trade and Investment (ACTI) program. The program is in support of ASEAN Single Window, Trade Facilitation, Micro, Small and Medium Businesses, and Information Technology Development. Furthermore, Donna Coulton also said that during the meeting, the United States declared under the list of President Donald Trump, ASEAN is still a major partner of the U.S. For the U.S., ASEAN is the fourth largest trading partner and the third largest investment destination. Based on data from the ASEAN Secretariat, the ASEAN trade value to U.S. in 2016 reached $211.8 billion, or 9.5% of the total ASEAN trade with other countries. Meanwhile, the value of U.S. foreign investment to ASEAN in 2016 amounted to $11.7 trillion. On this occasion, it was also held consultation of ASEAN Economic Minister and the U.S. with U.S. Business Sector, U.S. ASEAN Business Council, IBC. Donna Coulton said U.S. business people view ASEAN as a potential market for their businesses. In addition, the U.S. IBC also made some recommendations to the ASEAN Economic Minister to enhance trade within the context of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, particular in e-commerce sector, given that international trade has grown in the direction of digital commerce. Listener, that was Focus Today. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. In an effort to boost trade and non-traditional market, the Indonesian Trade Ministry held a workshop to discuss agreement of trade preference between member countries of the organization Islamic Cooperation OIC. The Indonesian relief groups will continue their journey to Chittagong, Bangladesh. The Indonesian relief groups will continue their journey to Chittagong, Bangladesh the next day after a one-night stay in Banda Aceh to wait for permission to enter Bangladesh. Ulamas and heads of boarding school from Central and East Java received invitation from President Joko Widodo to gather at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday. Indonesia continues to improve economic relations with the European Union. Indonesian government committed to keep increasing and giving positive contribution for the world's development and welfare through the South-South Cooperation and Triangular Framework, KSST. And the last item, Indonesia and Australia have enhanced cooperation in transportation sector and signed a Memorandum of Understanding on Territorial Sea Borders and Sea Pollution. And that was the news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you traveling to Bali. Stay tuned. Listener, when traveling to Bali, Ubud Tourism Area become one of the main tourism destinations for tourists. The tourism area always crowded by domestic or foreign tourists. Ubud is known for its beautiful art, culture, history and nature. Many tourists to Ubud spend their holidays visiting museums, watching traditional Balinese dances or seeing historical reliefs. To enjoy the natural attractions, usually, tourists trekking in the Champuhan Hills, rafting on the Ayung River, cycling to the countryside, or feel the freshness of the Tegenungan waterfall. Well, listener, for today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to know the natural beauty of the Tegenungan waterfall. Gianyar Tegenungan Waterfall, also known as the Kemenuh Waterfall, because it is located in the Kemenuh Village, Sukawati Sub-District, Gianyar Regency. Unlike other waterfalls in Bali, are located in mountainous areas or highland areas, The Tegenungan waterfall is located in the lowlands. The location is not far from the city of Denpasar, the provincial capital of Bali. From the city of Denpasar, it is only about 16 kilometers, or it takes approximately 45 minutes with two-wheeled vehicles or four. To enter this tourism area, you are charged an entrance fee of 15,000 rupiah per person. From the parking lot, you need to descend hundreds of stairs until you find Petanus River Edge. From a distance at the top of the stairs, there was a waterfall surrounded by shady green trees. The Tegenungan waterfall is not too high. It is only about 15 meters high with a lot of water discharged. Traveling to the waterfall, you can sit on the rocks while enjoying the scenery of a beautiful waterfall. You can also play water or taking baths, enjoying the freshness of the water. Even you can take pictures in this object. Hundreds of stone plates neatly arranged to add to the beauty of this waterfall. The Tegenungan waterfall area is also equipped with toilet facilities, bathing water pool, and temple as the worship place for Hindus. There are also cafes and restaurants as well as Balinese souvenir sellers on the site. The Tegenungan waterfall location is very close to the Sukawati Art Market. At the market, you can buy various Balinese souvenirs. If you are good at bidding, you will get a cheap price. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic The Tegenungan Waterfall in Bali. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Indonesian Umbrella Festival. Stay tuned. Umbrella in general is used to protect us from sunlight and rain, but the function of umbrella is not only that. For Indonesian people, umbrella also means culture because it is used in ritual and traditional ceremony. In ritual and traditional ceremony, umbrella is made of paper, not parachute or plastic. Unfortunately, this kind of umbrella is hardly used. That's why many business people go bankrupt. To conserve this kind of umbrella, Indonesia held Umbrella Festival 2017 on September 15 to 17, 2017 in Mangkunegara Palace Solo, Central Java. With the theme Sepayung Indonesia, this festival is to take Indonesian people to regain its unity and diversity under one umbrella, Pancasila. The festival will display 127 pieces of umbrella from Lok Sumawe, Medan, Lampung, Semarang, Yogyakarta, Magelang, Madiun, Bali, and other cities. Besides hundreds of umbrella displays, Indonesian traditional dances and photography workshop by Darwis Triadi are also performed.
Metro dancers, there are some key names such as Didik Nini Towok, Ayu Bulan Trisna Jelantik, Hajah Munasiah Ulang, Hajah Munasiah Daeng Jine, and many others. Six Maestro will perform on the closing ceremony of the event on September 17. The photography exhibition will display ancient umbrella from the Hindus and Buddhas era. It is an evidence that umbrella has existed since long time ago. Indonesian Umbrella Festival also becomes an expression room among nations. After Thailand delegation visited the festival in 2015, 2016 and 2017, the festival was also held in Bosang, Chiang Mai, Thailand to share and exchange idea and experience. This year's festival will also launch logo of Indonesia's Umbrella Festival and Bosang Umbrella Festival, Chiang Mai, Thailand. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you on the next Miscellany. I'm Nika Kusumawati.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present you to nostalgic pop songs from Indonesian male singer Ebit G. Ade. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Untuk Sebuah Nama. Happy listening.
Jiwaku mesti bergetar, sedang musik pun manis ku dengar. Mungkin karena ku lihat lagi denti bulu matamu, bibirmu, dan rambutmu yang kau biarkan jatuh bergerai di keningmu, makin mengajakku terpana. Kau goreskan kita cinta. Mesti duduk di sini, sedang kau tepat di depanku. Mestinya aku berdiri, berjalan ke depanmu, ku sapa dan ku nikmati wajahmu. Atau ku isyaratkan cinta, tapi semua tak ku lakukan. Kata orang cinta mesti berkorban. Thank you.
namamu. Sedang kau diciptakan bukanlah untukku, itu pasti. Tapi aku tak mau peduli, sebab cinta bukan mesti bersatu. Biar ku tumbuhi bayangmu dan ku sandarkan harapanku.
Listener, this song is a leading song in Abid Gaade's first album entitled Camellia One, released in 1979. The album that carries elements of pop music, country, and acoustic was very successful in the market at the time. To get the name of Abid Gaade became famous. The song tells a man who falling in love with a beautiful girl, but he doesn't dare to approach, greet or express his feelings until finally he realized that the girl was not created for him. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song by Abid Gaade. Happy listening.
Kita mesti telanjang dan benar-benar bersih, suci lahir dan di dalam batin. Tengoklah ke dalam sebelum bicara, singkirkan debu yang masih melekat. Oh, singkirkan debu yang masih melekat. Du 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 du. Oh 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 oh. Anugerah dan bencana adalah kehendaknya. Kita mesti tabah menjalani. Hanya cambuk kecil agar kita sadar, adalah dia di atas segalanya. Oh, adalah dia di atas segalanya. Anak menjerit-jerit, asap panas membakar, lahar dan badai menyapu bersih. Ini bukan hukuman, hanya satu isyarat bahwa kita mesti banyak berbenah. Memang bila kita kaji lebih jauh dalam kekalutan, masih banyak tangan yang tega berbuat nista. Ho ho, Tuhan pasti telah memperhitungkan amal dan dosa yang kita perbuat. Kemanakah lagi kita kan sembunyi, hanya kepadanya kita kembali. tak ada yang bakal bisa menjawab. Mari hanya runduk sujud padanya. Du-du-du-du-du. Du-du-du-du. Oh, oh, oh. Mesti berjuang memerangi diri, bercermin dan banyaklah bercermin. Tuhan ada di sini, di dalam jiwa ini. Berusahalah agar dia tersenyum. Oh, berusahalah agar dia tersenyum. Du-du-du-du-du. Du-du-du-du. Oh, oh.
Listener, the song Berita Kepada Kawan is one of the famous songs of Abbott's second album entitled Camellia 2, released in 1979. This song describes everything that happens in this world, which is the result of reciprocity of human behavior itself. When many people forget and are proud of their sins, there will be a worthy retribution from God. The retaliation in this song might be in the form of natural disaster. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Elegi Esok Pagi by Ebit G. Ade.
Izinkanlah ku kecup keningmu, bukan hanya ada di dalam angan. Esok pagi kau buka jendela, kan kau dapati seikat kembang merah. Kau tahu aku mulai bosan bercumbu dengan bayang-bayang. Bantulah aku temukan diri, menyambut pagi membuang sepi. Sejenak perjalanan, oh, oh, oh. Dan biarkan ku mengerti apa yang tersimpan di mata. Di tengah telaga ada tersisa butiran cinta, dan semoga kerinduan ini bukan jadi mimpi di atas mimpi. Barangkali di tengah kelagaan ada tersisa butiran cinta, dan semoga kerinduan ini bukan jadi mimpi di atas mimpi.
This song is one of the main songs from Abbott's third album entitled Camellia 3, released in 1980. This song has a deep meaning. As human beings, we must be strong in facing things and always motivate ourselves by creating expectation. In the song, Elegi Esok Pagi, the hardness is depicted on someone who fights for love. He or she has hope to minimize the possibility of desperation. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Titip Rindu Buat Ayah by Ebit Gade. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Matamu masih tersimpan selaksa peristiwa, benturan dan hempasan terpahat di keningmu. Keringat mengucur deras, namun kau tetap tabah. Meski nafasmu kadang tersengal, memikul beban yang makin berat, kau tetap bertahan. Engkau telah mengerti hitam dan merah jalan ini. Keriput tulang pipimu gambaran perjuangan. Bahumu yang dulu kekar legam terbakar matahari, kini kurus dan terbungkus. Namun semangat tak pernah pudar, meski langkahmu kadang gemetar, kau tetap setia. Sepi ku rindu.
tinggal hanya kerinduan. Anakmu sekarang banyak menanggung beban. Dan merah jalan ini, keriput tulang pipimu gambaran perjuangan. Bahumu yang dulu kekar legam terbakar matahari, namun semangat tak pernah pudar. Meski langkahmu kadang gemetar, kau tetap setia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.